stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hey everyone, thought I'd better put something out, so kept in touch with people. Thanks for listening, regular listeners. Been a little bit of a while, got quite a lot on because of the changes to the academic situation. You'll remember I started up a Theory Lab podcast. A couple of things have developed with that, so my Learned Society, the Philosophy of Education Society, got hold of that I was doing that. And I did a branch meeting through Theory Lab, and then that became a proof of concept. And with the Society now, I've just set up a virtual Philosophy of Education branch. So that's really good. It's taken a bit of my time. Basically, we're just having our meetings online. Then we're recording those. I'm putting them on YouTube and and put them up on an Anchor podcast. So that took over Theory Lab a little bit. You can find that if you're interested in the Phil of Ed stuff. You can find PESGB Virtual. You can find it on Anchor. There's a couple of episodes, more to come. And you can find a YouTube channel also if you search for PESGB Virtual or PESGB Virtual Branch. Oh, my dog. So I'm up early. The wife's still in bed. He's not happy with me. I'm not good enough. So he cries until she comes down. I'm out in the garden. It's a beautiful morning. Yeah, so that's been taking up some of my time. Started a blog on education in the face of existential threat. You can check that out if you want. I might put the link in the show notes. Not really relevant to RPGs, but if you want to know what I've been up to. The Theory Lab. So having got the PSGB thing running, I thought I'd go back to Theory Lab, do something different with that, do some interviews, do a bit of chat. I noticed I started that, well, I created the account months and months and months and months ago, but I started putting things out in March. It's got no distribution whatsoever. I've got no notification that distribution has been refused. So they're going up to Spotify. They're not going anywhere else. And I wonder if anybody's had any experience of that with Anchor. I've obviously chased Anchor, but in the present time, they are not getting back to me. But I wonder if anybody experienced that. So from putting something out in March, I've only put out two things, but there's been no distribution whatsoever. The PSGB one, I started only a couple of weeks ago. That's gone everywhere. You can find it on iTunes. It's been distributed to all the podcatchers, so I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, on with the call-ins. I've got a big backlog of call-ins going back to mid-April. I'll try and get some of them done.
Hey Dave, it's Che. I was just listening to Minion's call-ins on a recent episode, and he was talking about whether there was a possibility to have different difficulty levels within a role-playing game. And I'd just like to point out that David Kent Kelly, who is the author of the various Old Skull stuff, he has done this with his own rules. So he actually has three levels of difficulty and challenge within his rules. Now, I can't remember off the top of my head, I would need to go look it up, but I can't remember exactly which publication that was in. But it's a great little idea that I thought will certainly work with any old OSR game and is very, very compatible with D&D generally. And I just didn't know if you guys knew about it, so thought I'd better mention it. There you go. Levels in gaming, difficulty.
Thanks, Che. Menion's question about difficulty levels in RPG. Old Skull has done it. Thanks for the recommendation, Che. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but go ahead and check it out if you're interested in that.
Hey Dave, this is Rob, also known as Minion, from Confessions of Wee Timorous Bushy. Loved the last episode, although it had a little bit too much of me on it, so I'll keep this short. I never really liked the single saving throw for swords and wizardry until very recently. And then I also didn't realise that OSC gives all the saving throws for each creature, rather than sort of likening them to a character class, as was the case with the old system. So there you go. But yeah, singly, just reducing that to a single save, and then maybe modifying it depending on certain conditions or certain sort of resistances would have been much, much better, wouldn't it? Anyway, that's all I have to say. Cheers.
Hey, thanks, Menion. Yeah, more on saves. I mean, I certainly prefer that your monster list If monsters are going to save like classes, I certainly prefer that that is specified in the monster stats rather than sending you out to cross-reference the class progression tables. Yeah, but I'd rather not have it. And that just seems so neat in Swords and Wizardry. You get a single save, and then an interesting monster should probably be good against something in particular and not so good against something else, and that will do. So give them a +2 against this and a -2 against that, and we are good.
Hey up, Dave. Shandy Andy here. Been a long time since I called in. Really behind on podcasts. I've been sort of out of the loop for about 6 weeks, so slowly catching up on them. But this message is nothing directly to do with your podcast. It's just a thank you for inspiring me, really. Because last night in my OSE Wilderlands campaign, I did a bit of random rolling for some potions that the players came across. I don't tend to do that. I'm very much a heavy prep person. I like to have everything, even if it's just scribbled on bits of paper or post-it notes or something, all sort of planned out. But I'd planned out a chest with 6 potions in, but I decided not to actually pre-prep them, and I rolled on the random table on the inside cover of the Treasures book for OSE and dished them out on that basis. So thank you for inspiring me and giving me a little bit of a prod to add a bit of randomness into my game.
Well, thanks for the call, Shandy Andy. Been a little while for me as well. Sorry I've sat on these messages. Well, I'm glad if I have contributed to inspiring you there. Plenty of other people talking about the benefits of random tables. It is a good topic, though, isn't it, random tables? Good subject in its own right. Someone should do a podcast, maybe, just dedicated to random tables. That would be pretty cool, I reckon.
Hi, Dave. I've just caught up with the editing discussion. I somehow missed the rant episode, and I think Jason is understating it. I think you really were sounds like you really were foaming at the mouth almost, but that you managed to, you know, rein it in, which is amazing. I agree with your position and the premise and the your aspiration, absolutely. What I find difficult to relate to is how strongly you feel about it. Because I suppose in my mind, we are just dealing with people, with humans, and people who are often juggling lots of things. So, again, I agree absolutely with your position and your point. But wow, I just can't imagine feeling that strongly about it. But I am calling in with a point, something that came up in listening to it all, and that's this juxtaposition between board games and roleplay games. And forgive me if this has already been discussed by you or by Colin, but when you hear board game designers talk about playtesting and really playtesting it over and over and over again, they acknowledge that it's basically impossible to play out all of the permutations. When we come on to something like role-play games, where it's so qualitative, based on situation scenarios, I just don't know how you would really playtest that thoroughly. Now, this doesn't contradict any of your points before about careful eyes, second pair of eyes, going through it. It's simply a thought about the way in which a board game is far more bounded than a role-play game. Maybe it's not. But there's that impression that hangs around it. And I can only imagine that when that when the mindset of making a board game is this bounded thing, and the mindset of making a role-play game is something much more open. So I'm really not going anywhere with that, other than that being an interesting difference to consider.
Yeah, thanks, Barney. Again, sorry I've sat on this. Interesting thoughts at the end about boundedness and openness of RPGs. Yeah, I'm going to keep pondering on that one. But in general, the response to the editing thing. Yeah, so a couple of people did episodes about this, saying I'd been too hard on the poor, hard-pressed game designers. So I think I didn't make my point clear enough, and I'm going to clarify a couple of things. Like, if you're giving out your game free because you've got a full-time job and this is something you do as a hobby, I'll never be on your back. You know, this podcast is terribly edited. It has shoddy production values, but I don't ask anyone to pay a penny towards it. Not a Patreon, not nothing. So I don't expect people to call in and go, oh, you could spend some time editing your podcast. You know, just don't listen, right? This is different. If you are charging me £20 for a hard pack digest-sized game, or £40 for a big hardback, I expect for my money to get something which has been carefully read through. And let's just clarify that, right? Yes, maybe playtesting is difficult. But the examples I gave were issues that came up from read-throughs. I didn't have to get the game to the table. Even with Romance in the Perilous Land, right? I spotted those things in my 2-hour read through before the game, and we'd all spotted them, and they came up in the first half hour of play. This is not a playtesting issue. This is about getting someone smart who plays games to give your game a careful look over. That was 3 or 4 people independently had come up with the same kind of, oh, that's a bit weird, when they read through. Mutant Crawl Classics, again, that was the end of a weekend. I spent a loving weekend with that PDF. I spent good money for the hard product. There was time. You know, it was just after a weekend. Oh, these rules are missing. These rules are missing. These rules are missing. Sent them all a big email. Nothing. I spent £40. I'm not expecting a cut of these people's profits. I imagine the margins are small. I'm just expecting people to act on these things so that the product that I've paid £40 for and I want to really cherish and I want to be really good is £40 worth of goods. So let's just clarify that. I'm not expecting people to do stuff for free in their spare time and it'd be amazing. Chris Goneman puts out his basic fantasy role playing at cost, you know, £4 for the lovely full softback. It's not my favourite clone, but he's never gonna get any hassle from me about proofreading or layout or anything like that, because I spent £4 for that softback. Swords and Wizardry Continual Light, I spent £8 for a really thin 30-page document. I expect it to be a little bit better for £8. I expect them to have got one of their literate friends to have read through it for them. That's all we're talking about with the proofreading. It's just get one of your mates who you know, you should know by now, if you're charging money for literary products, you really should have a realistic understanding of where you are with your spelling and grammar. So on that level, just get one of your mates who you know is a bit better at these things than you are to look through it for you. That is all I am asking for. And with the big game products, you know, maybe fixing it on playtesting was the wrong issue. As I say, I think the whole playtesting thing was a diversion. Oh, it didn't come up in playtesting. Look, it came up. I spent an evening reading this book and I came up with these problems and then contacted you about them. And you said, yeah, that probably is a bit broke. It didn't come up in playtesting. It didn't need playtesting. It needed someone who was outside of that. Someone who was outside of the playtesting. Someone who hadn't got you, the writer, alongside with your embryonic game, explaining everything to them. Yeah, so I'm going to clarify. This has got nothing to do with playtest. When you playtest, especially if you're playtesting with the GM, you know, different if you send the materials out. If you send the materials out, again, it's playtesting, but also people are reading for the clarity of your expression of your rules. If it's playtesting, you playtesting the game with your table, then actually what they are testing has got nothing to do with your final written product. It's the final written product I'm interested in. Things which I and my other players around the table can spot in our first 2 hour read of the game. That's a bit broke. Someone should have spotted before the pristine 20 quid hardback turns up through my letterbox. So I won't go easy on those people. And yeah, if you're doing it, if you haven't got much time and you're doing it in a hurry, you can't really play test it, you're putting it out for love, fine. Put it out, pay what you want on drive through. Put it out cheaply on itch. You know, don't launch a Kickstarter for a big 40 quid hardback and then send it to me full of typos, with missing rules and without a good, solid read from a bunch of smart gamers for clarity of expression. So I hope that clarifies my position. Here we go, little one to tide you over. Thanks for the call-ins. Sorry it takes me a while to get to them sometimes, but I do like getting them and responding to them, so keep them coming. Thanks to Che of Roleplay Rescue, Menyon of Confessions of a Wee Timorous Bushy, Shandy Andy of Unguarded Treasure, B52. Great idea that I've developed about a random table podcast. Maybe I'll do it. And Barney, of course, of Loco Ludus. Cheers, everyone. I'll catch you soon. Keep well.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.